Welcome back. 419, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And I am pleased to welcome back to the program a regular guest, Mary Beth Hicks, Washington Times columnist and author of the book Don't Let the Kids Drink the Kool-Aid, Confronting the Left's Assault on Our Families, Faith, and Freedom. Hello, Mary Beth. How are you?
I'm good, Andy. How you doing today?
I'm a mess. I'm a wreck.
I'm not good either. I lied. That's a lie right there.
Yeah, really. Yeah. You know, your piece in today's Washington Times is extremely timely. Time to temper the political discourse. I was just getting to the point where I kind of liked it.
Sort of keeping you alive, giving you that feeling of adrenaline cursing through your body, right?
Yeah. Really? Well, you mean I have to get along with people again?
I know. Well, I'll tell you, one of the pieces of polling that came out, as if there wasn't enough polling, I swear I was so sick of it by the last 3 days or more, but one of the pieces of polling that I thought was interesting that I kind of wrote about was Scott Rasmussen asked people within the last week or so, has this election caused stress in your family or friend relationships? Have you lost friends or gotten in arguments with people and stuff over the politics? And like 30% of people said it has caused stress in their relationships with family or friends.
Yeah.
45% of people said they've gotten in heated arguments with people's loved ones about our politics. And, you know, so I guess if that 50-50, you know, vote, you know, divides us, it's definitely dividing us right down the kitchen table. And I think it's just time for us to really kind of recognize that we're never going to persuade anybody of our opinion if we're screaming at each other.
Yeah. But, you know, there are certain people within my own family that I really don't care to talk to, and this gave me a perfect excuse.
Right. I don't need that brother-in-law anyway, right? Yeah. Well, it's interesting because, you know, there used to be some protocol, some etiquette around political discussion. And, you know, growing up, at least, I was taught, you know, you don't really express your politics right out there. You certainly always respect other people's, you know, opinions. You don't necessarily, you certainly don't tell somebody they're stupid just because they don't agree with you. But we've really transcended that in ways that I think are dangerous for the culture. So that, you know, now you can't even talk about ideas so much anymore. So much of what goes on, especially because of social media, you know, people are just hurling insults at each other. I am called an idiot on all kinds of social media platforms, and you know, so much that I'm actually used to it by now, and I don't even care. I mean, it should feel like those insults kind of hurt you, but eventually they don't even, because they're just people just bandy this stuff about.
No, honestly, I get that stuff all the time. You know, being in the business I'm in, and you know, I've learned to laugh at most of it, and if I don't get it, then sometimes I think I'm not appealing to everyone.
What's the matter? I didn't insult anyone today.
Look, you're right. Really.
But, I do think that, you know, for those of us who are trying to put some ideas out there in the marketplace of ideas and just really, you know, have discussions on thoughts and issues and things we're concerned about, so much of the partisan debate, you know, just devolves into this emotionalism and name-calling and just kind of, you know, and what ends up being heated discussions and heated arguments, you know, among families where people can't even, you know, have conversations. But then again, one of the things I talked about in today's column is that I think one of the reasons our passions are so heightened is because the issues really matter.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is really consequential stuff we've been debating this season. And, you know, so but when it matters most, we have to be more civil because incivility will not get us toward any kind of solution, I think.
And you know, today we've already seen an example with politicians. We just heard from John Boehner a couple of minutes ago. About an hour and a half ago, I heard from Harry Reid. And already there are indications that they're not going to work together again.
Yeah.
They're telling the American people, basically Obama and Reid are saying, you know what, the Republicans are going to learn to get along with us. In other words, they're going to agree with what we want to do. And that's just not going to happen. And so that doesn't do much for the cause. And when, you know, when people look at TV every night and they see these guys doing battle with one another, I don't know where we go.
Yeah. I mean, one of the reasons I was getting pretty excited about the possibility of Mitt was because I really did have a sense that he was going to have the possibility of reaching across the aisle.
I did too.
Having some compromise. And I was starting to get used to the fact that I would be okay with some of it. You know, I mean, there are some things I don't want to compromise either, but I was thinking to myself, you know, he's probably right. We probably really do need to do that. And then, you know, I mean, you know, I'm sure, I mean, President Obama already proved he won't compromise. And so I don't know where that's going to go. But it is, it's really, it's disheartening. But I guess, you know, I always try to, you know, take everything back to that intersection that I write from, you know, from politics and parenting or family life or culture. And, you know, I guess we can't really expect much from our leaders if we in our own homes, you know, can't civilly have conversations and figure out how to get along. So I guess the point would be is we've really got to try and reach for more consensus in our own families and communities, and then maybe we can expect it from our leaders in Washington. But right now, I just think it's a house divided, and it doesn't stand. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. You know, I thought of you in watching that crowd. Actually, I guess it was early this morning rather than late last night, the crowd standing behind Barack Obama, because you and I often talk about, you know, the young people in our country. And I saw a lot of young people standing blindly behind him last night, you know, with that gaze on their face about, you know, how great this guy is and what he's going to do for the country, even though he hasn't done a whole lot so far. And it kind of reminded me of my younger days, and I had mentioned this earlier in the show. I remember I voted for Jimmy Carter. I thought Jimmy Carter was going to be a good president, and man, was I wrong. And I was so happy when Ronald Reagan took over and kind of cleaned up the mess that Carter had left. And I was sincerely hoping last night it would have been Mitt Romney in that same role as Ronald Reagan, and of course it just didn't happen. And I'm watching the gaze on these young folks' faces, and it just baffles me. I don't understand that they don't understand, but I guess I was like that at one time myself.
Well, maybe, but I have to say that, you know, this was the whole subject of the book that you just promoted for me that I wrote called Don't Let the Kids Drink the Kool-Aid. And the premise of that book is that over the past couple of, you know, generation and a half, at least, but, you know, we've allowed the institutional left to take over the very places that influence the worldview of our children's generation. And so, you know, my kids, who are all young adults and one teenager, you know, their peers, they don't see anything wrong with government stepping in and help fixing things. They think that's what government does. And that's what they've been taught in their schools, and that's where what they've been, you know, communicated through with the media and pop culture. And so I think that it's really kind of, it's not hard for me to understand. When I did the research about what young people believe, you know, a third of young people, according to our own National Educational Statistics Center, don't know where the government gets its money.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, that it shouldn't, we shouldn't be astonished that they think this guy can just do anything and fix everything. They think the president is king anyway. So,
yeah.
You know, it's disconcerting, but it's definitely a cultural shift that we have to decide we're either going to accept or we're going to keep fighting.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I'm still in the fight. I'm just licking my wounds today, but I'm not done. I'm not down. I'm down, but I'm not out. How's that?
All right. Well, you know, I was down and out last night, but I'm kind of getting over it. You know, hour by hour, I'm recuperating. So
you got to rebound, Andy. We need you.
All right. Thanks, Mary Beth. Good to talk to you. We'll do it again. See you later.
Bye.
Mary Beth Hicks, Washington Times columnist and author of the book Don't Let the Kids Drink the Kool-Aid, Confronting the Left's Assault on Our Families, Faith, and Freedom. She also writes for OnTheCulture.com. But that's more or less a women's website, so I don't go there that often. I admit I do check it out once in a while. 428, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.